this journey talking about power encounters. And this is segment 3, power encounters. Now, I love talking about this. I love watching videos about this. But more importantly, I love when the Lord uses us to actually employ this teaching in our daily life, to where it's more than just something we talk about, because we know that words are cheap, right? Even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Lord, he doesn't just come with words of man's wisdom. He actually comes, Paul, the apostle, doesn't just go and plant a church with words of man's wisdom. He doesn't just present. You know what? I know that this is a semantics thing, and Christianity Today had an article, I believe, in 2019 about this. So I'm not arguing words. But did you know Jesus never shared the gospel? The apostles never shared the gospel. That word shared is nowhere. So it's like you present the gospel, and you, the word preach or to proclaim the gospel is actually a bold declaration of the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's not just, hey, I'd like to share my pudding snack with you. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to share the gospel with you too. We don't do it abrasively unless the Holy Spirit is doing that, because sometimes he will. Amen. I mean, when you cast a demon out of a slave girl, that's abrasive. Like they did in Acts 16, and the church of Philippi was planted as a result thereof. When a witch comes and wants to buy the power of God from you, and you strike him blind, that's abrasive. That's a power encounter. Same thing happened to the Apostle Paul. He was going to kill Christians when his name was Saul. And the Lord arrested him, and he was blinded, and he was told where to go. If you want to receive your sight, you go to this place on Straight Street and meet a disciple named Ananias. And he will pray for you, and you will receive your sight again. And he did. And so Paul knew what it was like to be struck by blindness. So it wasn't just sharing the gospel. And this article said, hey, we're not trying to mince words here, or we're also not trying to argue words. But the fact of the matter is, the reason that we are so flaky and ineffective is because we tried to share the gospel instead of let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through us and grab somebody through us with our presence. Just when we walk into the room, everything changes. You know, I walked into a hospital room one time, and I was standing outside that hospital room, and I was supposed to go pray for somebody who was in a very destitute health situation. And I'm like, on my way to the hospital, I got pulled over by a police officer. And he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm on my way to the hospital to pray with somebody who needs a touch from God, or they're in big trouble. And he goes, I'm sorry, do you need an escort? I was like, no, sir. And he says, well, try to follow the speed limit. I said, you got it. And I didn't get a ticket or a warning. He just said, just go. So I'm on my way, and I'm remembering that song, when you walk into the room, Jesus, everything changes. Not when I walk in the room, when you and me walks into the room, everything changes. But he needs somebody to ride in on. He needs somebody who'll go. So I'm like, God, please let me into that hospital room. But I want you to ride in with me. And I walked into that hospital room, and they smiled, I smiled. We're like, hey, what's up? I had never met this person in my life, but I said, one of your family members sent me here to pray for you because you're in a bind. And I walked into the room, and I said, can I lay hands on your head? And they said, yes. I said, Jesus, you said that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not might, not sometimes, they shall recover. So I said, do it, Lord. It's your word, not mine. And I just prayed this simple prayer, and I left. And I got a call the next day saying that they didn't just get healed physically. They were completely healed. The doctor was like, have no idea what happened, but you're healed. Amen. Yay, God, right? And then they said, but also on top of that, they were set free from an addiction in their life. That was broken, that they had tried repeatedly to have broken on their life. They were set free from that, and we didn't even pray for that. Because Jesus, when he walks into the room, everything changes. Yeah. But that's what a power encounter looks like. And we can sit here and go, well, I've seen bigger ones on YouTube. Great. There are some amazing things that happen. But if you don't start right where you're at, they'll never start. It'll never happen. You know, Todd White, who is used by God in crazy ways, amazing ways, he has dreadlocks and they're amazing. He wears those shoes that are like gloves, you know? You know what I'm talking about? They like fit on your toes. It's weird. But he wears those. And anyway, he said that he prayed for 1,000 times for people to get healed. He prayed 1,000 different times for someone to get healed, and nobody got healed. But he said the thousand and first time, you knew what I meant, though. You're like, I know, I see it in my mind. The 1,001st time he prayed, that person got healed. And since then, he has seen God do a lot of things. But if you never start, you'll never see it. So it's not just a matter of sharing the gospel with somebody. It's about being the gospel. Being the good news. Living it out in power encounters. Power encounters, I just want to recap real quick. On that second slide, spirit-led power encounters enhance the missional identity of the church and of the anonymous believer as Jesus intended. Jesus never intended for his church to be powerless. Never. And you may feel that huge chasm between what's in the Word of God and what's in your life, that experience. Listen, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about getting out of your head and having the mind of Christ and just doing it. Stop trying to feel the power and just trust that because Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the power of God will flow through you if you'll place a demand on it. Amen. Get out of your head. You don't have to listen to one more faith teaching. Just go do it. Amen. Do what you know. Jesus didn't say remain like little children or you'll never enter the kingdom. He said become like little children or you'll never enter the kingdom. There is a growing down that we need to do and stop trying to get all complicated and just be simple in the power and presence of the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, look at this. Spirit-led power encounters enhance the missional identity of the church and the anonymous believer, as Jesus intended. See, you know, there's a lot of teachings and great ones about our identity in Christ Jesus. Some great ones. Joyce Meyer has one online. If you want to know who you are in Christ Jesus, go to Joyce Meyer website or just Google who I am in Christ, Joyce Meyer. And you'll see like 40 or 50 different line items of who she identifies us as in Christ Jesus with different scriptures. It's powerful. But one thing that we tend on these lists of who we are in Christ, one thing that we tend to leave off is that we are sent. Our identity is sentness. We are sent. You know, and there's that saying that, you know, some people kind of say smart alecky, and it's not meant that way. But, you know, we say we're waiting on God to use us, but is God waiting on us? You know, it's like, you know, you walk around this town and there's some, there. You know, you go to the store, you walk around or whatnot, and the high school or the schools and stuff, and you see a lot of kids who are downcast. They're downcast. And it's like we are sent to them to bring hope, even in the midst of pain. Even in the, because everybody experiences pain, don't we? There was a book written by a Japanese author, and it was about running and marathons and endurance, especially when it hurts. And so it's a very practical book. And he said that pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. What are you going to do with your pain? What are you going to do with the pain in your town? What are you going to do with pain in your family? What are you going to do with pain at work? Because suffering is optional. It really is. Suffering paralyzes us sometimes, and for a short period of time while we're grieving, that's okay. But if we grieve like the world, we are unfit. We're unfit to share Jesus with somebody, to proclaim the power of God, because we're grieving like the world. The world does not need more grievers like itself. They need to see somebody even in the midst of the pain and the suffering to rise up and say, there is hope in Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I love that song we worshiped with today. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Amen. Stood on Christy's dad's porch in the early 2000s, and there was a tornado coming straight for us. And Christy's dad just got out on the patio. He goes, let's go outside on the patio. And it was tearing up everything in its path up in northern Wisconsin. And we just stood on the patio, and he just put his hands out, and he just goes, and he spoke very calmly, and he said, in the name of Jesus, tornado, I command you to dissipate and disappear in Jesus' name. You will not touch Eagle River, Wisconsin. You will not cause any damage. You will not kill anybody. And that thing mysteriously, miraculously went away. Amen. There's a tropical storm over Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic right now that could really wreak havoc. We need to rise up and speak the name of Jesus over, as I know a lot of my missionary friends down in that area are doing today. Amen. Medical missionary, Kurt Holthus. I just want you to know there's more to you than meets the eye. You guys remember Transformers, the cartoon? There's more than meets the eye. And it's like when God's up in heaven, he's like, when are my people going to like rise up in Christ Jesus and actually be manifesting the power and presence of my word in their circles of influence? I mean, part of our identity is, yes, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the beloved of God, but part of my identity also in my DNA in Christ is that I am a sent one of God. You know, you're sent. Amen. And, you know, one of my professors was talking to us about missiology, and he said, you know, a big problem in Western church is that we romanticize the mission field so much that we've romanticized ourselves out of being missional where we live. We've got to be careful of doing that because we are sent, whether we're in Dalhart or Dubai. Amen. You are sent to advance the kingdom of God wherever you are. Okay? Amen. But I'm convinced that a sent, spirited, and supernatural Christianity is what Jesus had in mind for his church. This third slide, it says power encounter. What is a power encounter? Why are we calling this series this? Well, a power encounter is when the kingdom of God, represented by Jesus, comes into direct contact with the kingdom of the world. This volcano erupting at dawn is just so beautiful, you know. Oh, man. But it's glowing. You see it? You see the volcanic lava glowing? That's who we are. When we are missional, we come out of hiding and we glow. We wonder why we're not glowing. We need to ask ourselves, well, am I expressing Jesus through my life and through my words and through the power of the Holy Spirit to the world around me? Because God's not going to waste his power. That's the interesting thing about when I worked in the power industry for 2 years. You can't store electricity. Well, batteries. Yeah, but those run out, right? And you can recharge it, I get it, but you cannot store electricity. And you know what's interesting about solar panels is because we were putting a solar farm on top of Griffith Park right behind the Hollywood sign in LA. And the interesting thing is on a landfill. And you might feel like your life is trash. You're like, God can't use me. It's like, man, we were putting a solar farm that we couldn't do it because Glendale said the sun's going to blind us during rush hour. City of Glendale, California. So we didn't put it there. We put it somewhere else. But we went up there and I'm taking pictures because this is cool, you know, being up there. And with Ennio Ricci, our VP, and Griffith Park, there's this landfill. And we were going to actually put these solar panels on top. And it was going to be a multi-million dollar project. And it just baffles me that you can put all this garbage together and then pack it down and the land will settle. So we had to come up with we had to engineer a solution for that so we could move these around because you have to wash, this is interesting too, you have to wash the solar panels off so they stay clean. So like, yeah, we might have garbage in our lives, but Jesus came. He didn't just cover it up. He washed us clean. But then he wants to put his power on top of us so that we can transfer power to those around us that didn't come from us but came from the Son of God. Amen? And so it's like, man, we want to have good Bible studies. We want to have good Sunday school. We want to have good sermons. We want to have good worship. But it's like, man, when we leave this place, my prayer is that the power of God is so rich on our lives, Monday, Sunday through Saturday. Because I don't want to preach just the Sunday message. I want to preach a Monday message where it hits you when you're at work. And you're like, yeah, hey, we talked about that. You have access to the power of God. You know, when you look at a solar map, and maybe some of you have seen this. When you look at a solar map of the United States, like a solar resource map, Texas really doesn't have that much rich sun resource. Now, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, they're like deep red. Like that's where you want your solar farms because that's where the sun hits the hottest and the brightest and the longest in America. And here in Texas, it's kind of yellow. So it's like, yeah, I want to get closer to Jesus where the heat is. You know what I'm saying? The fire of God. So that I can maximize my life for God. You know, it's like Christy. Well, okay. So this week I had a dream. And like, in this dream, I was on the phone with a man of God who I know, and I'm talking to him about the church. I'm talking about life and the church and what God's doing here, and he asked me just a pointed question. What are you doing to advance the kingdom of God? I haven't heard anything that you've said. What you've said is great. This isn't a dream, okay? What you've said is great and commendable to a point. But I haven't heard anything you've said that relates to advancing the kingdom of God on the earth. What are you going to do to advance the kingdom of God on the earth? And I woke up. So, I mean, I have had to live with that question. So that's fun, right? That's pressure a little bit. I mean, hey, without pressure, we don't grow. Rejoice at your trials, the Bible says. Because it develops patience in you so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1, 1 through 5. And the next slide, it basically Matthew 11, 12, it says that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Ever since Jesus came, we are not on the defensive. Ever. Name which armor part God mentions in Ephesians 6. Name which armor piece goes on your back. It's not there. Because God never intended for us to run. away from the battle, but to run to the battle. Like C.T. Studd famously said, "Some people want to live within the sound of chapel bells, but I want to run a mission a yard from the gates of hell." And be careful when you do that, because I didn't say arrows don't fly from the enemy. They do. You need to be covered for that. But you know, I just want to ask you, are you facing any resistance in your life right now? No, praise God, I'm living in the favor of God. Well, that's true. Thank the Lord for that. But I just want to ask you, could it be that you have no resistance in your life because you're not opposing the enemy? Could it be? It's a question. We all have to answer, right? The next slide. So what did Jesus have in mind for his church? I don't know what Jesus looked like, but how many of you imagined this is Jesus before I said it, right? That's Jesus. Okay. What did Jesus have in mind for his church? You know, Christy and I were very reluctant to become pastors because we know. What it's like to be a pastor. We grew up in pastors' homes, fourth generation pastors' kids. We know that we know that we know that we know what pastoring is. And that, you know, you've got a target on your front and your back. You know, and everybody's got an idea of what a pastor's supposed to do, especially church people that have never pastored, you know. And it's like, hey, talk to me, tell me, you know. But the ones that have been pastoring for many, many years, they're very quiet about what it is a pastor's supposed to do because they're too busy doing it, what the Lord has put in front of them. And no two pastors are going to be the same. Just like no two disciples are ever going to be the same. You know, so when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about just people's church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. But I'm convinced there are three things that the church is comprised of. Number one, sent. Number two, spirited. And number three, supernatural. First, mission or sentness is part of our core identity. Look at this verse in John chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. We've read this a couple of times on Wednesday nights, right? So he says, let's see, John 20, that's 21, let's see. 20 and 20, chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, right? And so it says, so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And there is one evangelist, Benny Hinn, who, the Lord started telling him to breathe on people and breathe on people. And whole sections of a Colosseum would get knocked out in the Holy Spirit. And it's pretty awesome, man. The time I went to go see Benny Hinn, my youth pastor, Larry Poston, bug-eyed Larry. He's always excited about Jesus. And I had just gotten saved, gave my life to the Lord. And Larry, I was going to his youth group with some of my friends down at the church down the street. It was a Church of Christ that the Holy Spirit hit hard. And Pastor Curry Juno, who was Church of Christ, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you never heard a crazy Cajun speak in tongues like Curry Juno. They had thousands of people in their church over time. And God gave them a special anointing to heal cancer. And people came from all over the world to come to, it was called Quail Valley Church because that was the name of our subdivision. But it was started out in a barn. So yeah, that was the formal name was Quail Valley Church, but we called it the Barn Church. They hated that, but it's what we called it. And anyway, but people would come from all over the world and be healed of cancer. They would come to the barn first and then go to MD Anderson. And God would have already healed them before they got there. And so anyway, Larry Post is like, Jeremy, we're going to go see Benny Hinn. Do you want to go? Bug-eyed Larry. I'm like, yes, sir, I'll go. So we loaded up one of those church buses, vans, you know, 15-passenger deals. We go downtown to the Houston Coliseum downtown. And we're sitting in the way back, you know, where Benny Hinn is wearing a white suit, you know. And he's about that big from where we could see him. And so anyway, we're in the way back. And, you know, they're singing, how great thou art, how great thou art, then sings my soul. You know, they'd worship the Lord together, and we're like, yes, this is so cool, you know. And then Benny Hinn comes out, and he starts, like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody be seated. And we sit down, and all of a sudden, Benny Hinn goes, I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everybody quiet, just be quiet. And I'm like, let's be quiet, you know. So we're all quiet. The lady sitting next to me was demon-possessed and starts screaming. I don't know how many people are there. It was packed, so maybe 10,000, 15,000 people are there. And I'm like, what are the odds, right? Sitting next to me. And Benny Hinn, he's way down there, so he can hear it faintly. But I'm right next to it. It's shrilling in my ear. And I'm like, what do we do? And Benny Hinn goes, honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. Please, just silence. And she gets louder and starts like really demon-possessed manifesting. And I'm like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden, Benny Hinn just goes, now, snaps his finger, and about 8 ushers climb over chairs and grab the woman and carry her out gently, but carried her out. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, wow, that was crazy. And bug-eyed Larry just looks at me and he's like, wow, wow, what did you do to her, Jeremy? Anyway, but it was when the presence of the Holy Spirit filled the room that demons couldn't stay still. That's a power encounter. You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you this. Some Christians think that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. There was a theologian in the 1950s, actually very conservative, out of Dallas Theological Seminary, who wrote a book. And in the book, he was renowned for backing everything up with Scripture. But he wrote this phrase, and he said, Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. How many of you ever heard that? That's who it came from. Because prior to that, nobody knew what to do with that. And, you know, and then 20 years later, he writes another book and he says, I was wrong. Amen. You know, and there's a very famous Assembly of God theologian out of Springfield who said the same thing, that Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Now, the fact is that the word in the New Testament where it says demon-possessed is actually not a good translation. It's actually demonization is the correct translation of the Greek word that we've gotten demon-possessed from. So demonization is the more accurate word. So when Jesus cast a demon out of somebody, they were demonized. See, when you're possessed, when someone is possessed by a demon, they cannot make any decisions of their own. Why? Because they are fully possessed. But when you're a Christian, and let's divide it up into 10 pie pieces, okay? If our life was divided up into 10 pie pieces, like finances, health, lust, or let's say sexuality, or let's say relationships, let's say just education, let's say 10 different pieces of our life, okay? What they have proposed is that a demon can come. Now, these are theologians who know a lot more about this than me, and if you want the books, I'll tell you what the titles are later. Come to me if you're really that interested. But what they would do is they would say, maybe nine segments of your life are healthy with the Lord, but there's one area you've not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. And the enemy keeps coming in and demonizing that area of their life. And when this professor in Dallas Theological Seminary was questioned, they said, what makes you think that somebody, a Christian who professes the name of Jesus, can be demonized? He said, well, are there any areas of your life that are not fully surrendered to the Lord? Yeah. Okay, well, that's a playground for the enemy to come and mess you up. It's not saying that everybody can be, everybody that has unsurrendered issues is demonized. But man, when you messed with the occult back in 1978 and you played Dungeons and Dragons, or you messed with a Ouija board, or you got on the phone and you called one of those 1-800 psychic phone call numbers, or you did one of those plenty of different things, or you even backmasked some of those records that our youth pastors warned us against in the 70s, or you made a pact with the devil. And 20 years later, fast forward, you're clean cut, you look great, and you give your life to Jesus. And for 5 years, you've not been confronted about that demonic witchcraft activity in your life. Listen, when you go back and read the accounts of first century, second century, third century Christianity, people didn't just come down to the front and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus, baptized, and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then move on. No, they went through a process. When they were getting baptized, they were asked by the bishop. They would say, do you renounce Satan and all of the kingdom of darkness? Yes. Do you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. And then they would baptize them. These days, we just kind of want to run through it. And it's like, man, there might be something in our life in the past that is causing you. Maybe you were hurt as a kid and you allowed that woundedness to deepen and deepen and fester and fester. And now when something happens, you snap. And I want to ask you something. Did Jesus ever snap like that? No, he was very calculated too. Well, no, he went in the temple and he turned over tables. Do you know how long it took Jesus to braid that whip? He made a whip. That wasn't a snap. That wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. That was something where he said, I'm going to take a little time, and while I'm weaving this little whip together, I'm praying to the Father and asking him what he wants me to do here. He didn't snap. Now, if we snap in our life, if it's anger, if we get angry a lot, we have to ask the Lord, Father, what is the root of this in my life? So don't mistake me. Don't sit here and think, Pastor Jeremy said Christians can get demon-possessed. That's not what I said. What I did say is that Christians can be under the influence of a demonic spirit in an area of their life. There was a pastor. The reason this professor in Dallas Theological Seminary, he backed his second book up with scripture. The first one he didn't. When he said Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but they can be oppressed. He didn't back any of that up with scripture, which was very unique for him. But when he wrote this second one, he backed it up not just with scriptures, he backed it up with 400 missionary letters from the third world who said, hey, buddy, Christians, I don't know if you call it possessed or oppressed or whatnot, but there's a problem because one of our pastors in India who letter said, this guy was on fire for God. He was pure before God. He wasn't living in sin or adultery or nothing. He was just, you know, he was living before God. The Bible told Gentiles, stay away from idolatry and sexual immorality. That was it. And they said, as far as we know, he was staying away from that. And we don't know what happened. But one Sunday morning, this preacher got up and he manifested a demon while he was preaching. Now they said, we don't know anybody who was a more godly man than that guy. But there must have been something in his life where he opened up a doorway. Now, you talk to law enforcement, they will set you straight. They'll be like, man, we've seen some of the coolest, nicest, quaintest people in our city. Something happened to them. They're church-going people, they love Jesus, but something happened. I mean, I read a story about a guy in Longview who picked up a piano at a Bible study. Do you know how much a piano weighs? At least 500 pounds. He picked up a piano and threw it. And in 20 minutes caused $45,000 worth of damage in this guy's home. All because he started talking about, the Bible study leader started talking about demonization. Okay, so Power Encounters, yes, it talks about this. Jesus said, If you believe in my name, yes, you will lay hands on the sick, but you will also cast out demons. Amen. Okay, so mission is part of our core identity, isn't it? When we've got this sentness that we went in the Spirit's power, why? Because that the forces of hell are going to try to oppose us. Now listen, you know, we're always talking about leaving the paranoia and entering the metanoia. Leaving the paranoid mind and entering into the metanoia, which was the word repent. It means change your mind. It means leave the small petty mind and enter into the big mind of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying we go around and like talk to people about like, hey, do you think you're demonized? No, don't do that. Don't do that. But it should be something I think we need to ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm unsurrendered to? Why do I keep reverting back to this? Why do I have this soft spot in my life that's not, it doesn't feel surrendered to you, Jesus? Because the Lord might bring something back to your mind that you forgot about. A covenant maybe that you made when you were in elementary school, junior. Hey, when I was in elementary school, Dungeons and Dragons, everybody played that. They had little dice. They had all the little toys and pieces and books and everything. And I've heard stories about people burning those and hearing screams coming out of the fire. I'm not trying to freak you out or trying to raise a crowd or nothing and get everybody all excited about that activity. No, Satan is defeated. He is defeated, but we have to enforce the victory of Jesus over him in our lives first, and then in the lives of those whom the Lord causes us to walk across their path. Amen. 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 I mean, hey, listen, don't go looking for demons. In other words, right? Don't. You guys okay? Hey, listen, I'm not up here saying this is the way it is. All I'm saying is my whole life I heard that Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. I heard that my whole life. And then I get exposed to some new material about people who are actually out there doing it, and it's not theory anymore. It's actually real deal. And they're saying, hey, we don't know what we're going to call it, but there is activity going on that we have to enforce the victory of Jesus and cast things out or bring deliverance into people's lives. You know, some people need inner healing. Other people need deliverance in their life. Amen. And that's a case-by-case thing. And listen, I am just somebody who's bringing to you what I've studied hours and hours and hours of. And you know what? When I read the New Testament and compare it to what I'm studying, it lines up. Amen. I'm not here to just raise the flag on my daddy's theology or my grandpa's theology or my favorite church theology or whatnot. I just want to know the truth. Amen. So that I can lead others into the fullness of Jesus. You guys okay with that? How many of you know we are fighting not flesh and blood, but against demonic powers? Amen. Okay. The second, the church is a spirited people. That's what I envisioned Jesus had for his church is, number one, that they are sent, but number two, that they're spirited. And yes, it's somewhat of a play on words, that they are Holy Spirit infused. Amen. When we engage in God's mission, the mission of God lived out in our life, in the power of the Holy Spirit, brings us to life in unimaginable ways. Amen. Brings us to life. You know, look at 1 Corinthians 2:15 in the Message. It says, spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing, and we cannot be judged by unspiritual critics. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing, and we cannot be judged by unspiritual critics. That's 1 Corinthians 2:15 in the Message. Listen, the enemy doesn't want you free. The enemy doesn't want our community free. Listen, when we went to the funeral the other night at the stadium, Cress and I, we stood by the exit to find our people on their way out. And just say, hey, you know, God's good. He's still good. In the midst of unanswered questions, God is still good. And we were like one of the last ones to leave the stadium. But when I watched those people, hundreds of people pouring out of that stadium, I saw hopelessness. I saw downtroddenness. I saw destitution and depression and discouragement. Basically, I saw a field white for harvest. Amen. So sent, spirited. And if you want an experience with the Holy Spirit, you're like, man, I hear these people talk about speaking in tongues and things, but I don't have that. I don't know if that's for me or not. I want you to know that it is for everybody. You need the Holy Spirit, like they say, to just go to Walmart. You need the Holy Spirit just to go to Walmart. How many of y'all have seen that meme? Yeah. Man, I remember Christy and I moved to Tulsa back in 2001 to go to ORU, and we're at that Walmart right there on Lewis and 81st, and somebody came in their pajamas and spit on the floor and barefooted. And I was like, we need the Holy Spirit, you know. When we got up to the checkout stand, I don't know how I saw the bottom of their feet, but their feet were so dirty, you know. I was like, wow. But we need the Holy Spirit to be a spirited people and to be sent in the same power Jesus went. Yes. To try to do the gospel to try to expand the kingdom without the power, the raw power of the Holy Spirit, where it will, most of the time, will not always make sense, is a joke. Jesus did not make sense his whole life to anybody. They thought he was going to build up an earthly kingdom. He's like, I'm not here to build up an earthly kingdom. What are you talking about? I'm eternal. My kingdom is forever. Nothing made sense. They thought they were going to make him a physical king. Anyway. And third, so we're sent, we're spirited, and we are supernatural. Because as we're sent and as we're spirited, the supernatural is going to happen. Man, I heard this one story about Jesse Duplantis. He was a hilarious preacher. If you ever get discouraged, go find Jesse Duplantis funny videos. Because he's got like 30 minutes of his laughing, just fun stuff. Hilarious. And he told this one story when he first started out in the 80s, preaching, I think it was the 80s. He used to be the keyboardist for Sly and the Family Stone back in the day. So anyway, he got saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and started preaching. And, you know, he's from Louisiana where there's a lot of fog, right? Well, he started preaching in Stafford, Texas at Family Life Center Church with Richard and Tina Ford, pastors Richard and Tina Ford, just like 2 miles from our house. So anyway, I remember I went to go see him one time, and I wore this, the only shirt I had a bright yellow shirt, button down, and the usher, we showed up a few minutes late, and they brought us to the front row, and I'm like, what are we doing here? What? And Jesse Duplantis walks in right in front of us, and he goes, I like your shirt, brother. And I was like, this is my favorite shirt. This is my favorite shirt. But anyway, he told this one story one time where he's like in this little car, like a Civic or something, you know, like a two-seater or four-seater, whatever. And he said, it's real foggy. And he's got, you know, a service went really late in this one place. And he's supposed to get over here to preach over here. But even if he drove like really fast, there's no way he's going to make it there in time. Okay. But how many of you believe if God wanted you to preach here and he moved here and it went late, and then God wanted you to preach over here within a few hours, but it's like a 12-hour drive, but God wants you here, he's going to get you there. Amen. The Bible talks about translation. Philip translated. Jesse Duplantis said, he's like, I'm just like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'll start driving now. And he drove into this bank of fog. And when he got out on the other side of the bank of fog, in like 5 or 10 minutes, he was where he needed to be. Glory to God. Amen. But sent, spirited, supernatural. That's what Jesus envisioned for his church. I want to see more of the supernatural in my life, God. Sent, spirited, supernatural. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, as you go, Matthew 10, 7 and 8, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. So if you want to see those things, you have to, as you go. Amen. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit and appointed by Jesus to lead others into power encounters with God, not with us, but with the anonymous believer, right? We are the anonymous believers, aren't we? We're anonymous. Amen. To lead others into power encounters with God, where they can receive salvation, where they can receive physical and inner healing and deliverance from what's tormenting them. Here's a question. You know, regardless of the whether I believe in demons can possess or demons can demonize or they're oppressed or whatever, okay? Because that's all, I mean, let's leave that in God's hands, right? Let's just do what is in front of us. And if there's someone in front of us who's tormented, let's lead them into freedom in Christ and leave the definitions up to God. But let me just ask you a question here. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm not going to believe that. Okay, that's fine. I just want to ask you one last question. Do you know any Christians who are tormented? Amen. I do. They're tormented. Well, let me ask you something. Does Jesus torment anybody? No, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. Do you know any Christians that are afraid of anything? Because that's not of God. That's a spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why do we treat fear like it's okay? Like it's a tolerable issue. It's not tolerable at all. Jesus came to set you and I completely free. So I'm just sitting here saying, okay, listen, well, you know, we've seen too much Hollywood where, you know, the movie where the head spins around on somebody when they're possessed or whatnot. Forget all that. Do you feel like there is any type of spiritual, dark spiritual activity in your life that's holding you back from being everything God wants you and your family to be? Amen. We have authority in Jesus to crush that out. Absolutely. It says you shall trample on snakes and scorpions, and nothing poisonous shall harm you. That's all I'm saying is I've read all this evidence, yes, but I've compared it to the unadulterated word of God. And I'm like, yeah, there may be some Christians who need to get set free from demonic whatever you want to call it, activity in our lives to where we are fully obedient, more fully obedient to Jesus. Amen? Well, the reason we can do all these things and be the church that Jesus wants us to be, the reason we can is what Jesus said in Mark 1:15. It says, and Jesus came saying, repent, metanoia, get out of the paranoia and into the metanoia, get out of the small petty mindset and get into the big kingdom mind. For, and this is the reason why this all matters. This is the entire reason why all this matters. Because listen, I woke up this morning in a pretty bad mood. I did. Sour mood. Because I'm like, I don't want to come to church anymore and just have church. I don't. I want God. And I don't know what that looks like. But I know that the moment that leaves my lips, hell starts trying to ramp some stuff up against us. Hell does not want you wanting more of God. Hell wants you distracted. Hell wants you distracted and deceived. Hell wants you discouraged. And yeah, and I did wake up this morning discouraged. I'm like, well, God, that dream I had about that phone call, that man of God whom I revere asking me that kind of a question. And I just said, Lord, it's like Ezekiel with the valley of dry bones. Here's this prophet standing out in the middle of nowhere and God asks, and there's all these dry bones out there. I mean, they're so dry. And God looks at Elijah and he says, hey, or Ezekiel rather, sorry, Ezekiel. And he says, can these bones live? Huh, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? And that's how I felt. I'm like, huh? Can I advance the kingdom of God? I don't know God. I know you can, but where's the ignition and the steering wheel on this puppy? I don't know. I mean, and what did Ezekiel say to him? He said, Lord, only you know. And he said, prophesy. And I believe that this message that we're talking about on Sundays and on Wednesday night, please read through page 41 this week in Power Encounter, and also read, just peruse through the study guide, because we're actually going to hit some study points this week and actually ask questions, engage where we're all at, like in our belief system with the power of God in encounters. But how many of you believe God can do the impossible? How many of you believe God can use you to advance the kingdom of God in unexpected ways? Amen. Because trunk or treat, I don't want to just give lollipops out. I want to say, here's a lollipop, receive the Holy Spirit, and see people like a tongue of fire just like set on their head like this. And like, what is happening to me? I'd rather that question be asked. What is happening to me? I don't know. I feel the power of God. What is this? You know? I don't want to just give candy. We're going to have candy. But yeah, I had to surrender that during worship to God. My bad mood, my bad attitude. You know, the fire doesn't fall on the altar. It falls on the sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for me today. Worship. But I guess I've heard those are really good ones, because then it's a sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it and you do it anyway. Amen. But I do pray that this resonates with you, this message. I pray that this like pricks you for hunger and thirst for more of what God wants to do in and through you. Sent, spirited, and supernatural. Why don't we stand? And if I remember right, the lady who manifested the demon at the Benny Hinn concert or conference, I went out in the hallway to go to the bathroom, and they were praying over her and setting her free. And I believe she entered into her right mind before the night was over. We don't just kick people out. We actually bring them out so we can minister to them the life-giving presence of Jesus and bring those things out that are not from the Lord. How many of y'all want to see God use you? I want to see God use us in our community right now, when eternity is on so many people's minds, with Rose and Cameron's baby going to be with Jesus this week, and then with Yahir Cancino going to be with Jesus. The last couple of weeks have been pretty hard on our community. How can we be sensitive to listen, but also bring the love and power of God together and see life-giving presence through our presence, because it's Him in us? How can we get out of our heads? How can we get out of our heads and get into the mind of Christ for what He has for us? Listen, you may not live here forever. You may live here for a year. You might live here for another month or two or six, or maybe here for the rest of your life. All I know is this. We're here today for such a time as this, at this intersection. And the question I believe the Lord wants us to ask is, am I doing what God wants me to do in the day-to-day, where He's planted me, where He's called me? Father, we love You. Thank You for this message. Lord, only You know everything. So we just trust this message into Your hands. Lord, we thank You for delivering Your people through the name of Jesus. We thank You for inner healing that we have in Jesus. Lord, we thank You even for the trained psychologists, Lord, who love Jesus and are filled with the Spirit and can help us walk out our deliverance. Lord, thank You for that. God, I know so many of them, God, that I'm going to school with, that are the Fuller School of Psychology, K-12, California, God. Lord, however you want, however you see fit, I just ask you to lead this church, us as a body, deeper into the freedom of God. We are sent, we are spirited, and we are supernatural people. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us. And may the Lord be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. And Father, I just ask you to place your name upon each one of us in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. And everybody said, amen. Go with God. Have a great week. God bless you.